coach. How's your offseason going?
It's going well, guys. And how are you guys doing?
Doing well.
Pat disappeared for a month. We saw pictures from Germany. I'm just slaving away here for some reason. I don't know why. I think I'm banking up for something.
How does he get a full month off?
How does he not?
It's all those late nights, Mr. Huska. Yeah, there's some tough phone calls you got to take in January.
That's right.
Yeah, I hear you. You bank those hours. That's good for you.
Exactly.
I think every time someone swears at him on overtime, it's an extra day. He's got it in his contract, so he ends up with many months. He's still got another week away.
And you guys didn't make it very difficult on me this year, too. You won so many games. It wasn't even like a hard year.
Well, the plan is to try to do that again for you next year, but just make it a little bit longer into the spring, early summer, if you want to call it that.
I like that idea.
Fair enough. Yeah. Hey, when did you hear the news, and what was your immediate reaction to Yusuf Alamaki suffering an ACL tear?
Yeah, a few days ago, and my immediate reaction was just feeling a little gutted for Yusuf. He was making a lot of good progress this summer, and was feeling really good about where he was at and looking forward to coming in and not just playing for us, but really feeling like he was ready to contribute. So it was a little bit of a gut punch because you do have that tough feeling for him. And now we have to turn our attention and try to helping him get better.
Yeah. And boy, it's like just after a year where that high ankle issue just lingered and lingered. And then, you know, he's playing well in the A and probably deserved to be up sooner, but he's logging huge minutes, playing in all situations. I mean, this is back-to-back years with a fair amount of physical adversity that his body's thrown at him.
Well, and I think even, you know, the physical side of it, but for a young guy, it's a mental challenge as well. And I think that's probably the area where he'll need a little help from us as we move on once he gets going with his rehab. It's a challenge for a young guy, and he went through, as you mentioned, the long stretch last year where he was out. He came back, was feeling really good about where he was at. I think the great part about us being able to have some flexibility last year was we were able to put him down in the American League and really let him play and play some big minutes, as you mentioned. And I think that's real important for a young guy's development, and I think it was great for you. So to the point where we used him come playoff time, and he looked comfortable, he looked confident, and he did a real great job stepping in for us.
Yeah. Take us back to the beginning of the year. It was kind of I think whispers were coming out around the time that you guys were in San Jose late in the preseason that Valimaki might make this team. Walk us back to that point, the camp he had, the preseason, and then maybe where his season ended with a significant role in the postseason, as you alluded to, after spending a chunk of the season in the A.
Well, I think early on, we have our conversations in the summer leading up into camp, and Yusuf was always in the mix for a guy that was going to push and compete. But once he got himself moving through training camp, a little bit like Dylan Dubé, he kind of earned that longer look. And the one real great thing about Pete, he doesn't care if you're a first-year guy, played no games in the NHL, or if you played 1,000 games. If he feels that player can help us, he's going to give that player an opportunity to do that. And really, that's what happened with Yusuf. Once he was given that opportunity to run with it, I think us as a group, we saw that confidence level in him just grow and grow to the point where we were comfortable using him in all situations. He never played really power play with us before he ran into the injury, but he was a penalty killer. He was used to bump up certain shifts. If one of our other guys in that top four weren't playing to the standard we expected of them, Yus was able to be flipped right into there. And all at the same time, you know, he was really growing in being able to handle and play against some of the league's better players, which was a really cool thing for him. And then we ran into the little injury situation that I remember Kent saying early on. I think we were back-to-back and coming in for the next night. After the game, I should say the first game, he said he's going to be doubtful tomorrow. And I was kind of hopeful that, well, he's probably going to play through this. That's the way he is. But sure enough, it led into a couple months of him being away from our group. So an unfortunate injury. Those high ankle sprains aren't a lot of fun, which we all know. But he worked hard with our medical staff. He worked hard with his rehab down in Stockton once he got back to playing. And then he made sure he was in a position where he was ready to go when called upon. And like you saw what happened in the playoffs. I felt like he gave us a bit of a burst or a boost in the playoffs. And brought a real good piece of energy to our group when we did use him in the last couple games.
And so safe to say that kind of a performance on that kind of a stage, you've got a guy that you probably now would call an incumbent. I mean, for many of us on the napkin, he's on a third pair with someone like TJ Brody and or Rasmus Anderson, depending on how you know, personal preference has those two guys who both swapped through those spots last year. What do you, his deletion there now, you got to look at some other guys, some familiar faces, but some other options that would not have been starters, I suppose.
Sure. And I guess if there is a silver lining in something like this, you know, you never want to see a guy hurt like use in a training situation, but this gives other guys an opportunity now. So Oliver Shillington, he's got more of an open door for him to come in and show that he can be a full-time guy in the NHL. Brandon Davidson was signed earlier in the summer as a guy that's played NHL games. Now he's got, you know, you can say more of an opportunity to really push and make people take note. Renat Valiev's another guy. Valiev is another guy. So we do have people that have an opportunity now because of this unfortunate injury to grab it and run with it. And that's really what we hope they do. And you saw a lot of our young guys last year do that. Our hope is now we're going to be able to do that again.
Flames assistant coach Ryan Huska with us on this Tuesday afternoon. Ryan, one thing that has jumped off the page to me from the minute Uso was drafted was just the way he approaches things, approaches hockey, approaches everyday life, a maturity level that is beyond 19, 20 years old. And I think that you've talked about this at length. Just how well positioned is he because of that to get through this setback in a real positive way?
Well, he's a very driven young man, and this is a tough time for him over the last few days. There's no doubt about that. But because he knows where he wants to be and he knows the type of player that he expects himself to be and how he wants to contribute to our team moving forward, he's going to be the hardest working guy around when it comes to recovering from an injury. We all know that from what we saw of him. And I think in time, the next little bit, once he moves past the initial shock kind of the injury, he's going to be committed to making sure he's going to come back sooner than later. And I think that, again, is the mark of a real mature young man, even though he is at still a really young age. So you feel for him, as I said, but we'll turn the page now with him, work to help him get himself stronger any way we can. And I think the one fortunate thing that we do have here is probably the best medical staff around. So they'll get Uso up and running. I'd be willing to bet much before a lot of people expect him to be back.
You went through the names of gentlemen who could really take advantage of an opportunity to play more. And the one that is, I think, top of mind is Oliver Shillington. You know this player better than most. You had him in Stockton in the American League. You've seen him progress and seen him develop. Since Oliver came to the American Hockey League a number of years ago to where he is now, with a season of playing mostly NHL minutes under his belt, where have you seen the most progression in his game?
Well, I think it would probably be his play away from the puck. And having said that, with the puck in regards to his decision-making and when he recognizes risk now and dangerous situations. I remember when we first got him in the American League, Tree kind of mentioned he's a young guy. He's got some challenges away from the puck. He's a real dynamic skater, and he's got all the skills that you want to see in a young defenseman, but we're going to have to teach him how to defend and teach him the other side of the game. Well, early on, he was all over the map. But now you get himself in a situation where he has spent some time in the minors, and for a lot of people looking at it, they might think, Jesus, he's been in the minors a long time, but you can't forget he started at 18 years old. So now he understands how the game needs to be played. I think with when he was filling in every day, when he came up and played because of Uso's injury, I thought his game was starting to take off. And we maybe saw a few steps back once he started missing some games or was being healthy scratched. But I think a lot of that's because he was in and out of the lineup at that time. So I think there's a lot of room for him to improve. I think if he comes in here focused and driven and make sure he's committed to playing hard at both ends of the ice, he's going to give us a real another asset, I should say, on our back end in regards to a guy that can move the puck and the guy that can skate. I mean, his speed is enough to get himself out of trouble, and it's really going to be an asset in regards to helping us with our offensive game with him coming from the backside.
I know there's been plenty of talk this offseason about TJ Brody, but I look at him as a really important player on this blue line this year. His versatility, his ability to play the left and the right side, his ability to play up and down the lineup if injuries hit, having a player like that who is very well-versed in playing 22, 23, 24 minutes a night, for you, how important is TJ Brody on this back end?
I think he's underrated. And like you say, I try not to read newspapers all that much or listen to radio all that much, although you guys are fun to listen to it from time to time. But you can't find guys that can play 23 minutes a night. And he is a guy that's used in every situation on our back end. He can skate. I think at times there's pressure that gets put on him in certain situations. And there's other times where he puts pressure on himself. But there were a lot of nights in particular, the beginning portion of the year, where you could say he was arguably our best defenseman, where he had really bounced back from a couple tough years. And I expect the same and more from him this year coming up. He is a real important piece of our back end. He was at the end of our season. He was through the summer, and he'll continue to be that moving forward. So TJ's, I think at times, an underappreciated, maybe is the right word for it, member of our back end, because of all the things he does. And I really, when you look around the league, there's not a lot of guys that can handle 23, 24 minutes a night the way he can, and be also a guy that's used in different situations.
How would you compare and contrast Mark Giordano paired with TJ Brody and Mark Giordano paired with Rasmus Anderson, who had that breakout campaign from not making the team out of camp to finishing the season on that top pairing?
Yeah. Well, that's a tough one. I mean, they both play so well with Gio, and I think that's, as we all know, maybe a reflection on his ability for sure to be a guy that can work and adapt with anybody who he plays with. So I think that they both benefit from playing with Gio. There's no question about that. Now, with TJ, I think you get a guy that's got a little bit more foot speed on the back end, a guy that is real comfortable joining and jumping into the play, and has the ability, if he gets himself caught, to get himself back in a hurry and be able to defend because of his skating ability. Whereas Ras, on the other hand, I think being a right-handed guy allows him to make a few more plays in regards to seeing the ice, and that's his strength. So one of Ras's strengths is his playmaking ability and how he sees through not just the first forechecker, but often the second and third guys. So there's just a little bit of a different dynamic where maybe Gio and Rasmus move the puck a little differently than what you would see from Gio and Brodes, where, you know, I think you see Gio in the rush, or Brodes in the rush, a little bit more than Ras. But my feeling is this year you'll probably see Rasmus jumping up a little bit more as well. So they're both guys that are capable of playing there, and they give us a good option. So a lot of times it's going to be who's maybe having the best night, or who starts well in that position. Whether that be Rhodes again, like we fully expect, or if someone pushes them all the way and it becomes someone else. Maybe it's Travis Hamonic. So it all depends on who's playing well and what's happening with their team early on.
Do appreciate your time. When are you back at it? I know Bill's not one to take time off when he could be working, but do you have any official first date to get together with the coaching staff, or at least maybe have a glass of bubbly water and talk about your napkin lineups?
The napkin lineups go on all summer.
Okay.
That happens all summer long. So there's lots of texts. There's lots of calls that go back and forth. But I think Bill's planning on coming back to town either Sunday or Monday of this week, early next week. Ooh. And then with that, everybody else will pretty much follow suit. And then towards the long weekend, a lot of the guys have kids that go to university. So I'm assuming they'll work to get their kids set up in school from that point. And then we'll make sure we're ready to hit the ground running when training camp starts.
Enjoy the dregs of the off season. Can't wait to see you at the rink in the fall.
Us too, guys. We're really looking forward to getting back at it. Thanks for having me.
Thanks, Ryan. Ryan Huska,
hey guys.
Assistant coach of the Calgary Flames. Lots of use of Valimaki chat, and also the mulling over the pairs on a blue line that lost a significant part yesterday.